text in red symbols appears over black. It turns into words reading, "Go forth among the stars and seek only the strongest prey. They shall be your trophy. Become the killer of killers." Yautja Codex 0522/74. A spaceship pierces through space, its boosters giving a fiery glow as it accelerates toward Earth, partly covered in shadow with the moon next to it. 841 AD. Elsewhere, a gray sky hangs over the sea. A fleet appears through the thick fog. Two large armored men stand on a Viking ship, its wooden bow carved in the shape of a dragon. Subtitles appear. May Odin bless this task. May he bless our blades. Put your backs into it. Wearing heavy fur, a silver-haired woman with a bloody handprint over half her face stands in the back of the ship next to a boy.
Our men will be glad to return home. We will have more gold than we can carry.
You and I do not fight for gold. Remember that, Anders.
I know, Mother.
Tell me why we fight.
Because our enemy still lives.
Good. I pray you bloody your spear tonight. You are ready now. You all have traveled far and missed the warmth of home. You seek gold and plunder, but tonight, think of only one thing. Killing the Krivich. Anders, my beautiful son. If I should fall tonight, avenge me.
She pulls the boy, Anders, close and stares at him sternly. She raises her hand as she looks ahead. Lit up arrows fill the sky and fly towards the fleet, casting a glow over the silver-haired woman's face. She covers Anders with her shield. A title appears, The Shield. Blood drenches the letters in red. A figure moves between fallen bodies pierced with swords among smoldering ruins. The silver-haired woman approaches a restrained man, the shield on her back riddled with arrows.
There are no others, Siegfried. We searched every dwelling and slew every Krivich tribesman.
This is the last one.
She walks forward, and a bearded man takes away her shield.
You know who I am.
You are Ursa, Valkyrie of the Northern Seas.
I am Ursa, daughter of Einar. I am searching for your leader, the chieftain called Zoran. Where is he?
The prisoner gives her a scornful smirk.
You must look around and think, I am the lucky one. I am still alive. You would be wrong. They are the lucky ones.
No!
Ursa drives an axe into him.
Where is Zoran?
He has built an immense fortress many leagues to the east, high above Lake Ladoga. Let me live, please.
She takes out the axe.
Give him a merciful death.
Anders nods.
You'll never go to Valhalla. If you kill an unarmed prisoner, the Allfather will not allow you in. And I will haunt your dreams. Little boy, you and I will meet in the darkness, and I will haunt you!
Ursa brings the axe down on the prisoner's body, slashing him in half across the torso. Anders looks down as blood explodes. She throws the axe to the bearded man and stares at Anders. He frowns, looking away. Ursa picks up her shield and walks past him.
Sorry, young one. We'll find Zorin before the Overwinter. Forget all this.
The bearded man pats Anders on the shoulder and walks away. An aerial view of the battleground ripples as the spaceship glides past, with only its boosters visible. Later, the Vikings sit by a fire. Anders eats.
All of you, get your rest. Tomorrow, we bring death. Anders. You are old enough now. It's time I tell you what happened to your grandfather.
In a flashback, a young Ursa kneels over her father, pincushioned with arrows.
Baba. Get up! Get up, Baba, please! Please get up!
A brown-bearded man stands behind her.
Slay me, Zorin. You have won that honor.
No, Baba!
But free my daughter.
Your family must learn its lesson. She will die by my hand. Or you will die by hers.
Ursa.
He takes her hand.
Listen to these words.
No. Please, Baba, no, I can't.
This blood, listen. This blood marks you. As my father marked me, and his father marked him.
No! No!
You will find strength in this.
Please, please, no.
I promise.
I can't! Please, please.
Avenge me.
Please, no!
Avenge me!
He brings her hand over a blade and forces it into his body. Zorin walks away.
That day, something was born inside of me. A monster with claws around my heart, breathing fire into my soul. And there is only one way to kill it.
Anders studies her. Embers from the fire fly up towards a tree and hit an invisible force field. The embers briefly pierce through the force field as they collide with it, revealing a porous surface. Thermal vision focuses on the Vikings camping in the snow. Daytime, snow falls on the Vikings as they climb up a mountain with Ursa and Anders in the lead. They reach the top and stare at a large fortress in the distance.
What's the plan, Ursa?
I'm going to knock on the front door.
Now, guards open the gates of the fortress for Ursa. She slowly looks up with fierce blue eyes as a guard steps up to her. She brings two shields across his neck, decapitating him. She storms through the gates, tackling warriors. She uses her shields against incoming arrows, then flings one of the shields at her attackers. She stabs an enemy warrior's foot with an arrow. She brings her two shields across two warriors' torsos, slashing them. She hurls herself at each incoming warrior, slamming her shield into their bodies. Her warriors jump in, fighting off the enemies. An enemy warrior brings his axe down repeatedly on her shield. Anders shoves the warrior's axe away using his spear. Ursa nods at him, her face speckled with blood, and grits her teeth. She charges at her attackers, pushing one into a fire pit. A wooden structure falls over a row of enemy warriors, crushing them. Ursa raises her shield and runs ahead as she battles her way toward the fortress's main building. She She mounts the front steps and jams the doors with her shield. A warrior comes at her and she throws him toward the shield, chopping his head off. She dislodges the shield and turns around, facing the dark main hall. Zorin, his beard now graying, rises from his throne. Outside, blood covers the snow. Thermal vision shows Ursa and her warriors entering the main hall.
Hear me, Zorin, for fate has brought us together again. Some call me Stormbringer, Shield Maiden, the Valkyrie of the Northern Seas. My name is Ursa, daughter of Einar.
Zorin eyes her blankly.
Who?
Ursa, daughter of...
You look like a Viking washerwoman. These floors could use a scrub.
Silence! My father, Einar, was the Earl of Ladoga.
I remember now. Einar and you. Oh, you were a lovely little one. It appears your cowardice has ruined your looks.
You are the coward!
You killed your own father. Any decent Krivitch child would have fought me even if it meant death. You were so afraid. You still are. Fear is etched on your face. Your father must have been ashamed to have such a weak and disgusting...
Zorin's head falls off his body, spurting out blood. A spear's blood-soaked blade glistens in a beam of sunlight, with Anders holding it. Ursa looks at him and he holds her gaze. A wave forms in front of him and throws him into the air. A predator tears through an invisible force field, hulking over the Viking warriors.
Good boy!
Ursa runs to Anders as a warrior charges at the predator. A Viking charges at the predator, who throws him into the air and his head gets crushed between two wooden beams. A blonde woman throws a weapon at the predator, stabbing his arm, which oozes green sap. The predator flings her against a pillar. Ursa and the bearded man charge forward. The predator knocks Ursa down. The bearded man strikes the predator on the head. The predator lifts him up, pinning him against a pillar, and strikes him with a lit-up orb-like gauntlet. As the predator holds the bearded man's decapitated head, Anders throws a spear at his chest. The bearded man's head rolls at Anders' feet. The predator removes the spear from his chest and steps up to Anders. Ursa jumps on the predator's back. Support beams crack as the predator thrashes against pillars. Ursa brings her shields down on the predator's neck, and it spurts green sap as the predator tries to grab her. He throws her down. Anders runs towards them, then gets trapped under a broken pillar. The predator fires up his gauntlet, and Ursa glances between him and Anders. She holds her shields up. A shockwave collides with one of her shields, and it crumbles. A large hole forms in the wall, and Ursa goes flying through it. The building collapses, and debris scatters through the snow. Ursa's limp body slips on the snow and down a cliff. She jams her shield into the side of the cliff and hangs from it. An icicle breaks loose, knocking her down. She free falls through the icy air and into a frozen lake.
Avengers!
Now, Ursa comes to underwater and looks around at the wreckage below the frozen surface of the water. She swims up towards the ice sheet and presses her body against it, pushing up with her hands. She spots the predator landing on the ice sheet, and it cracks. He walks over to where Ursa floats below the ice sheet and crouches. As he peers through the ice, a mask on his head surges. The thermal vision malfunctions. The predator stands up and rips off his mask. Ursa swims underwater. Her head emerges out of the water and she sucks in air, her breath coming out in icy vapor. She looks behind her at a shipwreck on the ice. She hurries along the ice and hides behind ship debris, watching the predator. Her chest heaves as the predator walks on the ice, searching for her. He fires his weapon at a ship's bow. The predator and Ursa both slide on the ice from the impact, and Ursa hides behind a piece of debris. The predator fires at ships in quick succession, and Ursa runs. Behind him, Ursa pulls up a dangling ship anchor. Standing atop debris, Ursa watches the predator scanning the area below. She holds the anchor as she jumps on him and they both fall on the ice. Cracks form on the ice. Ursa grits her teeth as she stands up and faces the giant predator. She looks down at the ice sheet. As the predator fires the gauntlet, Ursa digs her shield into the ice. They both fall into the water. The anchor's chain wraps around the predator's arm, and the anchor sinks down, pulling the predator down with it. As Ursa swims away, the predator grabs her foot with his free hand and pulls her down. She reaches for the chain and swims around him, wrapping the chain around his body. She grabs the anchor and tries to pull it. The predator struggles against the chain. His gauntlet fires up and he aims it at Ursa, who holds up her shield. The shockwave's impact sends her up and out onto the ice sheet and him back towards the anchor, impaling him. The anchor's metal spike sticking out through his mouth. Ursa bangs her fist against the ice sheet and sits up. She walks in the snow as icy wind blows around her. She kneels next to Anders, who lies in the snow.
Anders! Anders! Anders!
Mother!
Oh, Anders! Oh, my son!
She grabs a handful of snow and wipes his face with it.
Anders! Anders!
Mother, did you kill the monster?
No. Anders! No, no! My son!
She cradles his lifeless body, pulling his head to her chest. Anders slowly disappears from her arms. With her hands outstretched, her surroundings change into a dim room. A collar with red lights surrounds her neck. Beside her, a figure kneels on the floor. Cut to black. The leaves of a tree grow side by side, brother. Yet when they fall alone. Underneath a clear sky, a yellow leaf flies with the wind. A boy in a gray uniform holds a stick, aiming at the falling leaves and missing them. Another boy in a blue uniform grins as he dangles upside down from a tree. The boy in gray swings his stick at him playfully. The boy in blue climbs up the tree and rustles the branches. Now, the two boys hold a leaf between their sticks as they take fighting position. Later, they kneel on the ground, folding a piece of paper into the shape of a boat. They smile at each other as they place the paper boat in the water and blow in its direction. They watch the paper boat float across the stream. The boy's father, a gray-haired man, stands behind them and watches them with pursed lips. They bow before him. Japan, 1609, in a Japanese castle. The father swings a sword down on a wooden rail, chipping the wood. He walks before the two boys, handing each a sword. The boys share a look. He lifts a helmet and places it in front of the brothers. The man steps back, and the two brothers face each other with pointed swords. The boy in gray, Kenji, lowers his gaze and slowly sheathes his sword. He faces his father, who looks at him with a scowl. The father turns to the other boy, Kiyoshi, who lowers his sword. The father lifts up the helmet. The boys gaze at each other. Kiyoshi looks down at his sword, his grip moving on the handle. The father mounts the helmet back in place. Yeah! Kiyoshi runs across the room and lunges at Kenji. They swing their swords at each other and Kenji falls. Kiyoshi points the blade above Kenji's face, where a cut appears. Kiyoshi steps back and Kenji sits up, touching the cut on his cheek. Kiyoshi walks away from Kenji and stands next to his father. Kenji drops his sword. A drop of blood falls on the blade as Kenji runs away. Kiyoshi and his father watch him from a balcony as he runs out of the castle. A title appears, The Sword. The white letters turn bloodied. Twenty years later. A grown Kiyoshi covers his father's body with a sheet as the sun sets behind him. He frowns and looks towards a balcony where a military armor stands with the helmet on top of it. Now the castle stands on a hill, overlooking a river and fields. In the field, Kenji wears farmer's clothes as he carries buckets attached to a stick. He looks behind him at the castle. Now, Kenji pushes away a rug and opens a hidden compartment in a wooden floor containing a sword and similar-looking daggers. He hides the daggers underneath his clothes and secures a chain sickle on his back. He holds the sword in front of him and unsheathes it. In the castle, Kiyoshi glares, kneeling as he stares at his father's funeral pyre. Warriors stand in formation behind him. On a roof, a predator squats, holding a metal weapon as it looks down on the castle grounds. His thermal vision mask display shows people walking on a bridge and two figures walking alone. A tree trunk floats on the river. The predator watches one of the two figures, a guard, slowly approach it. The tree trunk stops at the river's edge. The guard looks down at it and sees movement from inside the trunk. A dart shoots up from inside the trunk, and the guard clutches his neck. He falls to the ground, and a hooded figure drags him away. The predator watches and disappears from the roof. Now, the hooded figure climbs up the stone wall of the castle using his daggers. At the top of the wall, he watches the burning pyre. Kiyoshi walks away from the pyre and heads inside the castle with soldiers behind him. The hooded figure, Kenji, watches them walk down a corridor. A guard on a bell tower spots Kenji. He grabs a hammer to ring the bell and Kenji jumps, snatching the hammer away with a chain, then wrapping it around the guard while silencing him. Another guard fires an arrow. It hits the first guard instead of Kenji. Kenji pulls out the arrow and pins the second guard's hand into the rail with it. Kenji kicks a third guard over the rail, catching him by his foot, with his other hand gripping the chain. The second guard unpins his hand and swings the hammer. Kenji tugs on the chain, letting the hammer hit the first guard instead of the bell. Kenji bangs the two guards' heads together. A guard in another tower rings a bell. Kenji drops the third guard onto other guards standing below. Elsewhere, Kiyoshi walks with his guards and nods to them. They disperse and close a large wooden door. They stand behind the door and unsheath their swords. A small bomb bounces at their feet, and red fog explodes from it. A sword kills them one by one and reaches Kiyoshi. From afar, a cloud of red smoke wafts out from the castle. Kenji stands at the balcony, overlooking the full moon with the armor behind him. He strokes the dent in the wooden railing with his fingertips and turns to face Kiyoshi. He takes off his mask. Kiyoshi's eyebrows shoot up and he frowns. The brothers stand before each other with clenched jaws and furrowed brows. As Kiyoshi starts to pull out his sword, Kenji reaches for the armor's sword, then kicks the armor at his brother. Kiyoshi uses the armor as a shield against Kenji and disarms him. Kenji pulls out a short sword and they wrestle with the armor between them. Kenji headbutts his brother and he falls. Kenji points his sword as Kiyoshi gets up and points his sword. The predator watches them fight from the rafters above. Kenji lowers his sword with a smirk. Kiyoshi charges. Kenji kicks Kiyoshi and sends him tumbling to the ground. He throws daggers at Kiyoshi and Kiyoshi deflects them. Kiyoshi picks up his sword as he stands. Kenji shakes his head and drops the weighted end of his chain sickle. Kiyoshi frowns, then takes position. Kenji swings the chain at his brother and it wraps around his sword. Kenji pulls him with it. Kiyoshi's sword slips and swings down, cutting Kenji. Kenji sends his brother's sword flying and it sticks to the rafters. Kenji swings the chain's weight at his brother, who ducks, then grabs the chain and uses it to throw Kenji across the room. Kiyoshi climbs up the rafters and retrieves his sword. His brother follows him up with the chain. They hop between beams as they fight. Kiyoshi's sword gets stuck on a beam and his brother kicks him. Kiyoshi flies through a paper wall and onto the floor. Kiyoshi stands up and runs from Kenji, who chases after him throwing daggers. Kiyoshi puts on the helmet. They fight with their swords. Kenji closes in on his brother, forcing him toward the balcony railing and pointing his sword. He cuts a line into his cheek and straps the sword on his back. The railing gives out behind Kiyoshi, and he falls into the darkness. Kenji stumbles back. Tears fill his eyes. The sickle swings from a beam. He slowly turns and looks at a portrait of his father. He frowns as he stands closer to the portrait. Claws come out of his father's mouth and rip through the portrait. The predator lunges at Kenji. Kenji runs to the closed door and throws a smoke bomb. The door opens and guards come rushing in. They stop as they see the towering figure of the predator. He throws a chain, slicing through a guard's head. Another guard lunges and the chain impales him. The predator throws a spear and it flies through a guard's body, pinning him into a wall. Kenji watches and puts on his hood. The predator twists the spear, slicing the guard's body in half. The predator disappears. The predator reappears and throws the chain at Kenji. Kenji dodges and rolls on the ground. He runs through the hallway, pushing past the guards. The predator appears in the hallway and kills the guards. Kenji stops and stares as the predator throws a bomb. Kenji jumps through a window as the bomb explodes. He rolls down a roof and hangs from its edge. He hides in the shadow of the awning. Tiles fall from the roof. The predator sees Kenji through his thermal vision. Kenji stabs the predator in the foot. The predator falls and turns invisible. Kenji runs on the roof. He leaps from the roof of a building onto another, and a bloody dagger lands in front of him. He looks behind him as he sprints. Red fog explodes as he jumps off the roof. In slow motion, he throws a dagger behind him as he flies in the air, and it hits the predator. Kenji flies through a building and out of a window. He falls in the river. He takes off his hood as he crawls on the ground and slowly gets up. He sees the helmet on the ground. From behind, Kiyoshi swings at him. Kenji slams his brother onto a tree and raises two fingers to his lips. The predator materializes behind Kenji and lunges at him with pointed blades. Kiyoshi pushes Kenji away and blocks the predator's weapon with his sword. The weapon pierces through Kiyoshi's stomach. Kenji pulls his brother away and the predator throws a spear and it sticks to the tree. Kenji grabs the sword and jumps over the predator, slashing his back. The brothers run and the predator unleashes its chain. It wraps around a tree as it pulls them together. They stand back to back. The chain cuts through a tree and drags Kenji toward the predator. Kiyoshi falls and looks up at the tree falling over him. He quickly rolls out of the way. Small circular weapons fly off from the predator's arm toward Kiyoshi. Kenji brings his sword down on the predator's arm, cutting through it. The predator pushes Kenji to the ground and swings his blade at him. Kenji blocks the blow with his sword. Kiyoshi pushes his sword through the predator's back, and it comes out of his chest. The predator faces him and they fight. The predator hits Kiyoshi and sends him flying. He lies on the ground and watches as the predator slowly walks toward him. The predator turns toward Kenji and unleashes the chain. It hits Kenji and the predator pulls it, dragging Kenji's body. Kenji lets go. The predator looks at the chain and sees the circular bomb stuck to it. The bomb explodes. The predator hits the tree and disappears. Kiyoshi flies to the ground. A large dent appears on the tree trunk with green sap covering it. The two brothers sit up, and a sword sticks to the ground between them. Kiyoshi uses his sword to prop himself up, and the brothers stumble toward each other. They slowly walk in front of each other. Kenji picks up his sword. They step over fallen leaves as they circle each other. They take fighting position on either side of the tree. A leaf slowly falls, then stops mid-air in front of the tree. The brothers lunge toward it. They swing at the leaf. A line of fluorescent green fluid drips over their swords. The predator appears in front of the tree with his body cut up. The body parts fall to the ground. The brothers wipe the fluid away from their blades. Kiyoshi clutches his stomach as he falls to his knees. Kenji rushes over and kneels beside him. The brothers regard each other as their chests heave.
Konoha wa...
The leaves of a tree grow side by side, brother. Yet when they fall alone. But you are not alone. You are not alone, my brother. The brothers sit side by side over the leaves, staring off at the sun rising over the river. Kiyoshi falls limply to the ground, and Kenji shuts his eyes as he hangs his head. He He slowly looks up. In the dim room, he kneels on the ground with a collar with red lights attached around his neck. Ursa sits staring off behind him. He looks in front of him at shiny dog tags hanging from a chain. Florida, 1941. A young man speeds down a road surrounded by crops, chasing a plane. Grins as he looks up at the plane flying through a clear sky. The car slows down as dark smoke comes out of the engine and slowly comes to a stop. Now, a middle-aged man opens the hood.
Bueno.
All right, how do we fix it?
¿Cómo lo arreglamos, huh?
I was gonna ask you the same question.
You were gonna ask me? You're the one with the broken engine. Oh, you want to fly? You think you're Charles Lindbergh?
I'd like to be a pilot one day. What's wrong with that?
Charles Lindbergh could fix his own car.
I think he's got people that do that for him, Dad.
Muévete.
The young man hands his dad the keys. The dad sits in the driver's seat and shifts gears, then turns on the ignition. He shuts his eyes, lightly pressing on the gas pedal. His son watches him.
Well, Dad? You figure it out?
You flooded the engine.
So, how do we fix it?
You tell me, Lindbergh.
Dad.
Mijo, listen to me. Dreams are fuel. But you're not flying because you can't make the engine work. I'm done bailing you out, mijo. You have to bail yourself out from now on.
The dad hands his son a letter and walks away. The son opens the letter, reading in bold letters, draft notice, to John J. Torres. A title appears, The Bullet. Blood trickles down the white letters. North Atlantic, 1942. On a hangar deck, Torres fixes a military aircraft with the word bullet etched on its body.
Grounded pilot fixing his plane?
Who in the hell taught you how to rebuild a radial engine, man?
It's a little something I picked up back home.
Ensign Torres. A lot easier wrecking planes than putting them back together, eh? At ease, Delgado.
How about if she runs, you put me back in the sky?
Well, let's see what you got.
Clear prop!
Torres gets in the military plane. He looks at an old picture of him as a kid with his father's arm around him. Smoke comes out of the engine, and the propellers come to a stop.
Delgado! Hey, man, can you take another look at this?
Keep going, Torres. Take care of it.
Bandit! Sir! With all due respect, I'm not a mechanic.
What's flying mean to you, son? Speed? That's hitting the gas. Fancy maneuvers? That's steering.
Sir, I'm a pilot.
Doesn't look like it to me, son.
People run.
Shoot up!
You killed everyone. You went right for her engines. I never seen anything like it. Hooks in the sky! Hooks in the sky!
Torres walks toward a burning plane with something stuck in the engine.
What in the world?
Torres! I want that engine running before I get back.
Commander Vandenberg, we gotta go!
Torres nods to his commander, Vandy, and turns toward the plane. Now, Vandy straps himself on a plane and flies off. Military planes fly in the sky. Torres pulls on a chain carrying the engine of the wrecked plane.
Okay, run me through this again. You said something went through the engine block?
Like a hot knife through...
What?
It's cold.
Torres, I'm not sure we should be messing with this thing.
Torres dislodges a dark, pointed, sleek object from the engine and places it on a workbench.
What are you? All right.
He taps it with a screwdriver, then runs his hand over it. He pokes it with a power drill, takes a saw to it, then a welding. It clicks open, startling Torres. He takes off his welding mask and peers at it. It shoots a harpoon toward the airplane.
Gado! You okay?
No! Hell no!
What the heck?
Torres, look out!
The remaining part flies through a wall, dragging the plane's engine with it.
Oh, shit.
Military airplanes fly through the clouds.
Bandits! 9 o'clock low!
Here we go!
They arc down, firing at incoming planes. In the distance, boosters of an invisible spaceship shimmer in the sky.
You're not hearing me! There's something else up in the sky, and it's not VC fighters. We gotta let the Aces know.
I already told you, they're out of range. Or the frogs are jamming us.
We gotta get someone up in the air to get them a message.
All of the pilots are already in the air, Ensign.
Not all of them.
In the sky.
That's one more down for the Texas Aces.
Texas Aces, into the sky! Yeah, not shot, Vandy!
Thermal vision focuses on Vandy's plane. In the hangar, Torres pushes a plane and sits in the pilot seat. He turns the engine on.
Torres! This plane barely starts, man!
Torres looks off, then down at his hand, wrapped around a stick shift.
Give me a minute.
He closes the canopy, shuts his eyes, and breathes. He pulls a button and retracts it. He moves the stick shift. He gives Delgado a thumbs up. Delgado pulls a lever, and the plane takes off into the sky. Its wheels touch water, and Torres pulls on the shift.
Come on!
He reaches for a crank, and the wheels retract. The plane gains altitude, flying higher in the sky.
Oh! He's going to die.
In the sky, Vandy shoots a plane down.
Wahoo, boys!
Looks like we got him. Stay in formation for one more sweep.
Tech Squad, come in! Can you hear me? Tech Squad, this is the bullet!
The bullet? Torres? This is a combat zone! Return to the carrier, immediately!
Sir, listen to me! We're all gonna get smoked if we stay up here!
Torres, clear this channel! We just shot down the last of them!
Tech 2, do you copy? Tech 2!
Fellas, don't engage with whatever that is!
I give the order, son!
Listen to Vandy. Stay in your lane, Torres.
The foremost plane in the formation hits a force field and explodes. The spaceship appears. Torres watches its large shape looming over him and arcs away as debris rains down.
Tech Squadron! We have a hell of a bogey on our hands!
Inside the spaceship, a Predator pushes the thrusters, and the spaceship speeds forward towards the Tech Squad.
Tech 3, on your sticks! He's got a bead on you! Get out of his line of fire!
Thermal vision focuses on Tech 3 as a small turret comes out of the spaceship and a harpoon blasts off, dismantling the plane and going through the pilot's body. The harpoon retracts back through the engine. It pulls the pilot back with it, and he flies out of the plane.
You got any guns on that boat, Torres? We need them, now!
Of course I do, Son of a bitch!
Tech squad, I got this bastard in my sights.
Keep after it!
The thermal vision focuses on a tech squad plane, and a harpoon shoots out of the spaceship, pulling the plane. The harpoon pushes through the engine, and the plane bursts into flames. The tech squad fires at the spaceship. The Predator forcefully pushes a lever, and the spaceship speeds toward an airplane. The pilot catches fire. Torres tries to swerve away from the burning plane. The plane explodes, sending other planes flying back from the impact. Dark smoke fills the sky as burning debris shoots through the clouds.
Torres, your wing!
Ah, shit. Here we go.
The wing of Torres's plane burns. He holds a screwdriver in his mouth as he gets out a wrench and uses it to hold the flight shift in place.
Damn it, kid! What the hell are you doing?
What the hell am I doing?
Torres climbs out of the flying plane and crawls to the burning wing. The wrench moves, releasing the flight shift. The plane swerves, arcing down.
Torres!
Torres hangs from the wing using a hammer. Vandy speeds toward him. He holds the wing flap with his other hand and forces it down. The plane rights itself and he crawls on the wing. He slams his hammer onto the burning part of the plane, and his sleeve catches fire.
Shit!
Torres looks up at the spaceship flying towards him.
Yeah, you want some of this?
A tech squad pilot flies toward the spaceship. The Predator releases a harpoon and misses.
You missed me, sucker!
It releases a bomb that explodes into a net and wraps around the plane, crushing its wings into the body. The plane explodes and burning debris falls around Torres as he lies on the wing. He kicks the burning fuel tank with his boots as the spaceship quickly approaches him. The fuel tank comes loose and flies toward the spaceship. The Predator releases a harpoon and it connects with the fuel tank, which explodes. Torres hangs from the open canopy with one arm.
The heat.
He pushes himself inside the plane.
Sir, we gotta get back to the ship and call for backup. Got no shot against this thing.
Hey, Torres!
I need you to listen up now.
It's just you and me here, son. No one is coming to bail us out. Now, what have you got?
Well, I think it only sees heat.
Keep going. What do we do with it?
Think, Torres. So then we climb. We need to cool off these engines.
That's something, kid.
He and Vandy fly up in unison with the spaceship chasing them.
Dale, motherfucker.
Come on, almost there.
Stand by to kill the engines.
You got eyes on him?
He's gaining on us.
Vandy's hand hovers over a button.
Torres, I'm gonna buy you some time.
But sir!
You heard me. Torres, you're flying now.
No, sir! Do it! Now! Turn her off!
Torres?
Sir!
Kill this motherfucker for me.
No! Turn it off!
The spaceship fires a small disc with sharp red tendrils at Vandy's plane. A tendril decapitates Vandy.
Vandy, no!
The plane explodes in front of the spaceship. Lights in the spaceship go out. Torres's plane shoots up with the spaceship above it.
Damn it, Vandy.
Damn.
Torres wipes a tear from his eye. The Predator pulls a lever and the spaceship arcs down.
You're blind now.
Torres's plane flips around as it glides through the sky. It sinks through the clouds behind the spaceship. Spaceship's boosters.
It actually worked! Holy shit! I got a bad idea.
Goodbye, invisibility.
Torres turns his engine back on and the thermal vision spots his plane.
As-tu déjà visité le café de Rick?
Avion est bien vu! Aux armes!
Torres flies low over a city and soldiers on rooftops fire at him. He looks behind him and sees the spaceship chasing him. He quickly swerves away from a building in front of him. He flies sideways in a narrow street. Behind him, the spaceship disappears and reappears. Torres flies out of the city and towards a harbor where ships fire at each other.
Never thought I'd be so happy to see the enemy.
He pushes the flight shift and soars over the harbor, evading enemy fire. The sky darkens with smoke as explosions fill the air. A missile hits the spaceship and sparks fly inside the cockpit. Torres flies past a large ship with the spaceship behind him. Torres watches turrets firing on a ship and swerves away. The blow hits the spaceship and it crashes into the water.
Take that, you son of a bitch! Woo! Oh, we did it. We did it. He got nothing on us.
Torres flies over the water. Behind him, the spaceship slowly resurfaces. It flies behind Torres. Water drips over the Predator.
No! What do I got? Think, Torres.
He looks at the picture of him with his dad, standing outside motor garage.
Thanks, Dad. Gotta flood the engine.
Torres pushes the shift repeatedly. The Predator taps on buttons, and a gun comes out of the ship. Torres gathers equipment and climbs out of the plane.
Come on, you son of a bitch! Shoot me down!
The Predator releases a harpoon.
Orale!
It connects with the plane, and Torres opens a parachute, pulling him toward the spaceship. The harpoon wraps around the spaceship, and Torres lets go of the plane, flying into the ocean. The airplane arcs in the air, and the burning engine collides with the spaceship, exploding. The spaceship explodes into bits, and Torres resurfaces in the water. He shoots a signal flare into the sky. At night, stars shine in the sky over Motor Garage. Inside, Torres fixes a car. looks up as the space shakes around him. He scrambles away as the hood of the car almost closes on him. He walks outside onto the empty street. He carries a tool in his hand as he strides into the darkness. He shields his eyes as a blinding beam of white light shines down on him. He drops the tool as he sees a massive spaceship hovering over him. Three red target marks appear on his chest. Now, the spaceship moves in the sky. Now, Torres lies in a hypersleep chamber. The pod door opens, and Torres stirs awake. He sits up, looking around at the inside of a dimly lit room with metal walls.
What? How long was I asleep?
He tears off wires attached to his body.
Oh, God.
A door opens to a predator. Predators push Torres into a corridor.
What the hell is this?
One of them forces a collar with red lights on him and shoves him into a room.
Pendejos.
Oh, amazing. Other humans. Hello, ma'am. I'm Torres. You just wake up too?
Ursa spits in his hand.
It's very sweet.
You were birthed from an anus.
Onushimo.
Have you killed one of the demons as well?
Oh, you're Japanese. I had to learn some of that in basic. Think Torres, watashi wa...
My name is Torres. Me wonderful fish, Torres?
Sakana... Torres?
Only a fool deals with a fool, and a man who talks to himself finds only the dead listening.
You just take a load off. You too, ma'am. And I'll just get us out of here.
Okay, Torres, think this through. How would you get out of the brig on the Ranger?
A door opens.
Oh, boy.
Ursa gets up and walks through the door.
Be cool, Torres. Be cool, be cool, be cool.
The predators kneel as the three humans walk past them. A large door opens and sunlight falls on Torres's face. They step outside into an arena.
It's a shot in the dark, guys, but I don't think we're on Earth anymore.
An audience of predators watch them, and a spaceship looms over them. The spaceship lands on top of a massive skull. A large predator with tentacles and horns steps out of the ship.
A fight to the death.
Only one will live, and the survivor will face me.
Torres
Torres looks at Kenji and Ursa. Two guards push a predator into the arena. The big predator, the warlord, looks down at the predator prisoner as the two guards yank him by his hair and place the collar around his neck. The crowd raise their arms, and the warlord presses a button on his wrist. The prisoner's head explodes.
Holy shit! You guys, they put bombs on our necks! They could blow our heads off with the press of a...
Three pods fly in the sky and land before the humans.
Each will receive a weapon from their tribe.
Your walk.
Become the killer of killers. Praise Sif. Finally.
What the hell?
Torres walks toward an old pistol.
This isn't even from my century!
Kenji unsheathes his sword.
Oh, shit.
Ursa charges at Torres with her axe.
Whoa! Don't make me... No!
He tries to fire the pistol. Ursa slams her axe down on him, and Kenji blocks it with his sword.
Mother
still alive?
Yorka. No balls.
You just volunteered to go first.
From at Gundam.
No, I won't fight you. What is this nonsense? My brother and I only killed one of these demons by working together.
Okay, the language is clearly a problem. But if we can get up to that ship, I think I can fly us out. I shot one of those down before.
Yes, I will butcher the Grendel King, after I butcher the both of you. We must fight as one, don't fight her.
Gotcha.
What are you doing?
You said fight her!
I said not to fight her. Sorry. Kenji kicks Torres away from Ursa. The warlord presses a button.
Guys!
You dance like a weasel.
Okay. How does all this, all right, bullets, gunpowder?
Ursa and Kenji fight. Ursa kicks Kenji. Torres's eyes widen as a gate opens and a monstrous animal with a jagged-toothed maw on its back steps out.
Oh no.
A guard nudges the backbiter with a spear. The backbiter throws the guard in the air using its horns and eats him. Ursa charges at Torres, scattering his bullets on the floor.
Grandma! Gotta be kidding me!
The only way I can get to Anders. Ursa swings her axe down on Kenji. The axe flies through the air and lands on the ground. Anders stands in front of her and turns into Torres with his pointed gun. Ursa gapes.
Listen to me. One of us might win today, but nobody is gonna survive this place. I have a plan to get us out of here.
The backbiter throws Torres in the air and opens its mouth as Torres flies toward it. It closes its mouth as Torres falls inside it. Ursa grips her axe and sprints at the backbiter. She slams her axe into its head.
Oh my god! Wait a minute! Yes!
Torres crawls inside the backbiter's body. Kenji stumbles toward his sword. The backbiter thrashes its head as Ursa hangs from it. In the backbiter's stomach, Torres finds a gauntlet. Ursa rolls on the ground and slams her axe into the backbiter's foot. The backbiter breaks her axe. She runs as it chases her. Inside, a blade comes out of the gauntlet, and Torres sinks it into the backbiter's stomach. The backbiter stops. Ursa sees a piece of metal on the floor, and Kenji slashes his sword across the backbiter's leg. Ursa uses the metal as a shield and charges. Kenji climbs up the backbiter's body and sinks his sword in its eye. Ursa uses her shield to slice open the backbiter's belly. Blood flows out onto the floor. Ursa and Kenji charge together, slicing the backbiter's neck. It falls on its side. A craft flies across the arena.
Hey, guys, I'm still in here!
The craft pushes the backbiter through a gate. You're pretty good with that sword, Weasel. You see what we can do together? The young one is with my son now. You tell them both. I'll be there soon. They fight. You are forcing my hand. Do it. Send me to Valhalla to join my son. Only one lives. Kenji slowly lowers his sword from Ursa's neck. Ursa swings around to face him. I'm not playing by these rules any longer. Kenji sets his sword down on the floor and steps back. You will both die. Stand up and fight, damn it! Fight me! The warlord presses a button and their collars glow. No, I must die in battle. I'm coming, brother. The collars stop glowing as Torres flies into the arena on the craft.
Hey guys, remember me? Are we friends now?
Torres presses the gauntlet and their collars fall from their necks.
Let's go!
Ursa hands Kenji his sword, and they join Torres on the craft. They circle the arena and fly up toward the skull.
Come on, girl!
The craft lands in front of the warlord. He throws an axe, and the craft falls back, sending the humans flying. Torres jumps off the craft, and it explodes. You can send your warriors after my boy, but now you face his mother. The warlord throws Ursa away and slams Kenji into the ground. Ursa runs at the warlord. He holds her by her head and throws her away. She watches Kenji run in front of her in slow motion, carrying his sword. He nods at her and she nods back. Kenji slashes his sword across the warlord's leg, and Ursa blocks his fist with her shield. Kenji plunges his sword into the warlord's belly. Ursa climbs up Kenji's back and jumps, hitting the warlord's head with her shield. Torres sits before the controls in the warlord's ship.
Let's get this thing in the air. All right, Torres. Can't be that different from a wildcat.
He shuts his eyes and closes his fists on two handles. Outside, Kenji and Ursa plunge their weapons into the warlord's body. The warlord falls to his knees. Kenji and Ursa stand before him with pointed weapons. The warlord charges, knocking both of them down. He holds the two humans by their heads, pinning them into the ground. A blade comes out the gauntlet on the warlord's wrist. No! No! Kenji tries to push the blade back as it extends toward his eye. The ship turns on. The force of the engine knocks the warlord off the edge of the cliff. Ursa digs her shield into the ground and catches Kenji's arm, keeping him from falling down.
Oh!
Ursa and Kenji struggle to crawl up toward the spaceship. Oh! Inside, Torres pulls down a lever.
Guys, get in here!
Let's go. Ursa supports Kenji as they walk toward the ship. The warlord throws a spear. Kenji pushes Ursa away, and the spear cuts through his arm, slicing it off. Kenji falls to his knees.
Come see me, Weasel.
Come on, Weasel, move your ass. They hurry inside the ship as the warlord and his warriors gather behind them.
All right, girl.
The ship lifts off the ground and flies off. A warrior fires a hook, and it sticks to the ship, holding it in place. Inside, the humans tumble around.
What happened?
Ursa slams her shield into the hook and looks down at the warriors. She grits her teeth and takes a breath. Do not avenge me. Wait.
Mother.
What are you doing?
Ursa smiles and nods softly. She jumps up, using her shield to slide down the chain connected to the hook. Torres slowly steps back. The predator warriors throw spears at Ursa as she descends toward them. She jumps in slow motion and slams her shield down on the tether holding the chain. The chain rips from it, letting the ship go. Torres slams back into his seat and flies the ship away. You failed, Grendel King. All your sorceries and hell trinkets, and my boys still got away. You did it, brother. Guards restrain Ursa. The warlord walks off. Let's go hunting. The warlord raises his arms and spaceships fly off into the sky. A title appears: Predator, Killer of Killers. Now, Ursa lies in a hypersleep pod. Two guards push the pod along a hallway. They pass by other pods with people inside. A young woman with long dark hair sleeps in a pod. Credits appear. Audio description created by Pixelogic Media. Narrated by Laura Post.